Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that your word will take effect now in our lives through the Spirit of God, bringing glory to Jesus Christ and transforming our lives, our church, our town, our world. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, tell me if you've heard these words before. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Most of us have, even though the movie was in 1939, from The Wizard of Oz, when our character, Dorothy Gale, in every song and with everyone she met, Dorothy articulated her heart's desire to return to a place of familiarity, love, and belonging. The longing for home. It's what Isaiah says in chapter 32, I will give you peaceful dwelling places, secure homes in undisturbed places of rest. Now, I'm not going to spout out statistics this morning on how important home is and the impact and effect that homes have on children and all that's happening in society because of failed homes. But, you know, I have considered sometimes what was the home life of Jesus like? Because Jesus, we have 3 years of his ministry, but there were 30 other years that we know nothing about except one instance when he went to Jerusalem and was left behind. Other than that, we know nothing. What was that home life like? It's an interesting look into it, another glimpse into it, in Mark chapter 3. When Jesus is teaching or preaching, I can't remember exactly what was going on, but they said, hey, your mothers and your brothers, it says his mothers and brothers thought that he was out of his mind. Today we would say, I'm going to have you 302'd, right? That's what people say when they're going to have somebody committed. They told his family came and said they thought he was out of his mind, and his mother and his brothers came to get him. What kind of a family was it? The other thing that struck me is that when Jesus was on the cross, and every year we go through Easter and we talk about his last seven words from the cross,
You may hear sermons on that or services even about that. And one of those we know, which only John records, he looks at his mother and he says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," John. "Son, behold your mother." Now, that seems odd to me. Why did he do that? Some believe it was financial. He was fulfilling the Old Testament, honor your father and mother, and you have to provide for your parents. Mary, by this time, is clearly a widow. But she has other children. She has other children. How many, we don't know, but probably a substantial amount of boys and girls. Is it really true that this young, unemployed fisherman, the youngest of the group, was he really the smartest choice to financially take care of your mother? I wonder about that. Well, there are no perfect families. There are no perfect families. And it seems as though for John, this subject of home is very important. One of the favorite words of John, favorite Greek words, is this word meno. Meno. And I'm sure you didn't miss it today. We read, even if you were nodding off or thinking about what you were going to do this afternoon, as I read the gospel, you had to hear it 10 times in 11 verses. Abide, abide, abide. The word is a favorite of John's. He used it, as I said, 10 times in 11 verses just today, but it's used 120 times in the New Testament and over half by the Apostle John. It means something to him. And when he begins his gospel in chapter 1, he tells a story that no one else tells. And I think it's a beautiful illustration of what does it mean to be a follower of Christ. Because it has no sermon, it has no Bible verses. It really, you know, is just a story of two young men on a search. They're unsettled. Something is missing, right? They follow this guy named John the Baptist. And they've been following him and going out into the desert and listening to his preaching, but he's not it either. And so it tells us that these two young men, Andrew and probably John, are following Jesus. And Jesus says, what are you searching for? What are you looking for? And they say, where are you staying? There it is. Meno. Where are you staying? Jesus says, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying. There it is again. And they stayed with him that day, three times. And it is a beautiful picture, isn't it, of what it means to be a Christian. Two young men on a search looking for home, looking for a place to be. The word means to remain, to be in a fixed state, to be in a permanent place, and get this, expecting a future. That's built into that word. To be in a permanent place in expectation of a future. To be at home. That's how Eugene Peterson translates it in The Message. Make your home in me, and I will make my home in you, says Jesus. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. So this word, meno, translated abide, becomes a theme in all of John's writing, and even to the point where, once again, he talks about Mary finding a home when Jesus is on the cross. What does it mean to make Jesus your home? For him to be at home in me? And what I want to do today is not not give you a formula, not give you, well, abide in Christ, and here are five steps, and if you do this, you will be abiding in him, and he will be abiding in you. And I also don't want to present to you somehow a picture of the perfect home and what your home should look like and what you should be doing at home and put you on some kind of a guilt trip about your home. No, what I want to do is look at what a home is supposed to be, and this metaphor, this comparison of what does it mean to be at home, to abide in Christ, and for him to make his home in you, to abide in you. And so in order to do that, we have to look at some of the characteristics of home. And at least all homes are different. None are perfect, right? Mine wasn't. None are perfect. But let's look at what it should be. A clean home is a happy home. A clean home. My mother worked up until the time my sister was born, and I knew that every Saturday at my house was cleaning day. You better get out of her way. She had an Electrolux, and she got down on her hands and knees. She didn't do the wand. She got down on her hands and knees and did every square inch of that house, because that was, you know, how you really got it clean. And then when my mother turned 40 and had my sister, she was home all the time, and Monday was our day. And I can still remember coming home from school Monday afternoons, and the house smelled like lemon pledge. A beautiful smell. Everything was vacuumed and dusted. Everything in my room, my teenage room, was put back into place. My clothes had been washed. And then the best part was Monday night, getting into that bed and those new clean sheets. The smell and the feel, I remember it as a child. Jesus said, "My word will make you clean." If I am your home, to abide in Christ, for Christ to abide in me, it means a clean home. And it's the Word of God, it's the Spirit of God working in our lives that does that. Because to be clean, spiritually, right? To be clean is really to be happy. It's to have an order in your life. A clean home. Home is also a place that you have to work. I mean, if you have a home, you have to work, or you better pay somebody to do the work. But there is work involved. There's no just sitting around doing nothing. Now, we don't work for our salvation. We're saved by grace. You know that, through faith. But we are saved. We are at home. We abide in Christ. We are expected. We are given meaningful, meaningful work. Did you read our collect today? O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. And there's a sense that God has things prepared, meaningful work to do. There is fruit to be born. If you abide in me, well, I'm going to be sitting around doing nothing. I'm not going to be idle. It's going to be purpose. There's going to be work. It's going to be fruit. And if you don't abide in me, you're dead. Home should be a place of joy. I know that's not always the case. But a home in Christ, Christ in you, that my joy may be in you, Jesus says, and that your joy may be full. Home is a place where you are loved. You are loved unconditionally. where the things that you do, yeah, they matter. Yeah, there's consequences, but you are loved regardless of those things or what you accomplish or what you become. Unconditional love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, Jesus says. It is a place of obedience, a place where there are rules, for lack of a better word. You know, I grew up on a street where, I grew up in a family where there were certainly some expectations and some rules. But at the end of my street, there was a family that had 9 children. And the dad worked constantly, and the mother, you know, I don't think the mother was totally, what do they say, the elevator's not going to the top floor? I don't know. But it was, she was, there, something wasn't right there. And so what it boiled down to was these 9 kids, they did whatever they wanted. And man, I loved to go up there. I went up to that house every minute that I could because it was so fun. It was so fun. I'd go in there and they would be what, you know, I wasn't allowed to watch TV when I ate. We had to eat at the table. And I certainly wasn't allowed to eat a bunch of junk before supper. I would go in their house and they'd have big bowls of cereal and they'd be watching TV. They'd say, come on in, we're, you know, in the middle of the day and they're watching stuff on TV. And it was, you know, I was there all the time. But you know what? It was chaos. It was chaos. And it was tragic. I mean, the house nearly burnt down once. I could just, you know, they just had tragedy after tragedy in that family. Home is a place where you're protected. Home is a place where plans are made for the future. Probably in many of your homes, you sat down around a table, you know, with your parents or with your children, and you talked about, okay, what do you want to do in life? What do you want to be? What school do you want to go to? Or what, you know, what kind of work do you want to do? Plans are made. Who do you want to marry? Home is a place where you make these plans about your future. And as we said, this Greek word, meno, abide, abiding in Christ means living in Christ and having a future. Such things he has prepared for us. Again, in John chapter 14, a well-known verse, right? In my Father's house are many mansions. The ESV says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and bring you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. And where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. Many mansions in my Father's house, many rooms. Guess what the word is? Monet. It's a derivative of meno, that word, dwelling, home. Jesus has a future. Jesus as our home means that there is a future here and a future in eternity. And just one more thing about homes and what happens in homes. Allow me to illustrate it this way. You know, I think I've said this before. Linda and I, you know, we get hung up on this British TV shows, right? BritBox, Acorn, PBS, detective series. And so we watch a lot of that stuff. And I don't know, maybe because in every show almost, there's always an Anglican church and an Anglican priest, right? Always. Now they don't dress like me, you know, they have a Catholic and surplus, but there's always an Anglican church and an Anglican priest in these shows. And I'll tell you what, in just about every time there's a church service, they're singing 662 in our book. Abide in me. Abide with me. 662 in our book. I don't know how many times, but you hear that hymn, Abide with me. Well, that hymn was written in 1847 by a Scottish Anglican minister, Henry Francis Light. And that hymn is a raw, personal prayer for God's presence during life's darkest moments. You see, Light was 52 years old, and he was suffering from tuberculosis. And he was so sick and so ill that he couldn't even do his job. And his last sermon, they told him not to preach. They told him to forget about it. But he literally had to crawl into the pulpit at 52 years old and with TB in September of 1847 and preach this last sermon. And after that sermon, short time to follow, he took a walk. He died. But before that, he was walking by the sea, and he sat down and he wrote these words: "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." Now, there was a tune to that song that Light also wrote, but Light's tune isn't the one that we sing today. The one that we sing today, and in our hymn book, was written in 1861 by William Henry Monk. And that also, even the tune, was written in great sorrow. In great sorrow, Henry Monk had lost his daughter. And so this tune was written in those circumstances. And my point is this: home is a place where sorrows are not shared alone. They are shared together. O Lord, abide with me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.